recite the homage to the Triple Gem. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamman Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you all can come forward. We will start the puja. You all can light the candle and the incense. Who has not done it? Who has not done this lighting before? Ah, Chai Chai Kao. Yeah. Just press the other side. Then Mimi, come. You light the incense. Your mom light the candle. You light the incense. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, very good. Just blow it. Okay, thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, the rest can come forward. We form a line. So we should all rejoice with all the offering tonight. The fruits were very fresh. Then the incense also. What you call this? Jasmine. Very, very nice. A lot of fragrance. Then some of this fruit, I don't know which fruit. Very, very nice fragrant. Strawberry, must be strawberry. Then the flower is very fresh and beautiful. So we really, really rejoice in all the offering. We sadhu one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, come song. The tree. So we offer incense, clear water, and candle light. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Be careful with the tree. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I can ring this also. This is my daughter often. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, promissory, you can put it back here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sade, sade, sade. 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 Okay, thank you so much. Eh? You can be seated. Then we will start our chanting. Turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana, then we will take the refuge, Tisarana, then renew our precept, Panchasila. Then after that, we will chant the Padipa Puja and all the other puja offerings. Then we will make our aspiration. Okay, we start now. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. We will now chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamang dangsina tiloka dipang san buddhang pujayami tamo nudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang. Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kaya uktata yati vinasa bawang adivase tunobante paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigang hatu muttamang. Okay, return to page 18, where we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Offering, significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. So you realize these first three items are offered in the tray. So the significance of that candlelight, the incense, and the clear water. So now you understand why that tray go first. Then after that we have the fruits. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Then today's fruit, first time I saw coconut too. Very nicely shaven one. We should rejoice. It's very cute. Very well done up. Then significance of offering of flower. This one has a lot of meaning. So may this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that it will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Because flower is a very, very important offering. When it's very fresh, very beautiful, it has this what they call attraction. Then there's a lot of joy in offering it and all things. But similarly, because it's ephemeral means it doesn't last. This so-called beauty or fragrance, it decay very fast. And because of that, you can see the impermanent characteristic very clearly. So it brings to mind the urgency of cultivation, the impermanent nature of all conditioned phenomena. That's why when you all were busy sending condolences, I send that one. Vayadamo sankara apamadena sampadeta. The meaning is vayo means conditioned, dhammo, all conditioned dhamma, they are impermanent, including your form and mind. So do not take for granted, because you may not see the next day. A lot of things that happen in this world, people take for granted. We always believe tomorrow will be another beautiful day, or another day for everybody. But not everybody has that fortunate condition to see the next daylight. So this is an important contemplation, reflection. Then you can actually tie it up with the five daily contemplation that the Buddha constantly remind us to reflect. The first three is this reality of this form. It goes the way of nature. It is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. So because it's impermanent. Then separation, you have to constantly remind yourself when conditions cease to be, separation will arise. Then the last one is constantly remind yourself that law of karma is very powerful. Each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. Nobody can escape from this golden truth. So when you understand this, you will become very serious about life. You will determine to take care of karma. Then you will heed the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. Then you will strive on with heedfulness to develop the urgency to actually transform your understanding so that life can be understood clearly, so that you can actually develop the understanding to liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Okay, the last two is also very important. You will now invoke the overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya further strengthen until they become balas or powers. Then finally we will share and transfer all these merits and wholesomeness with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially so to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pure respect to Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Okay. Before we start, I got one announcement. We should rejoice with the printing, the reprinting of these two books. Actually, these are very useful books for meditation. These are the two transcripts that we did. One is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. The first reprint version was the dark blue color. This one is light blue. The dark blue one is this one. This is based on the 12 September 2013 Thursday class recording. And it's very comprehensive, very good to understand meditation. It's very complete. Then to supplement the understanding, we have this Samatha Vipassana meditation talk that I delivered at Klang, our Tiratana Center, NBC. This one was dated 24th April 2014, the talk. This one explains clearly the meaning of Samatha Vipassana and what are the key difference and how you should develop the cultivation so that you can tie in with the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, so that you will not debate. Meditation, if it's not done with understanding, possibility of deviation is very, very high, and it's very difficult to develop understanding. So now we had reprinted, I think, 500 copies each. So we got enough to go around. So if you need any more, or for your friends or Dhamma friends who are serious in understanding meditation, you can collect them. So they are all available. Thursday class, Tuesday class, then If you need some more, some, I think we can have it. We got it placed at Padmasuri and Brother Tune's house. So these are the places where you can have them. So I will leave the books here. If you want some more, you can collect it over there. Okay. Okay, with that, we can start our meditation tonight. Okay, now it's about 8:40. Maybe we have 20 minutes of meditation. So tonight, after 3 weeks of what they call good break, I don't call it a rest, good break. Because I understand quite a number of you all went out for the retreat, Achana Chala's retreat. Then also a lot of you all may have developed your self-practice. Then Tuesday class is very unique and different because you have a lot of understanding. So for you all, that break can bring about a lot of condition for you to develop the contemplative wisdom, the understanding and your self-cultivation. You try to find out how is it like when you are alone. When relative is not around to share, then you will develop your own understanding. Then from there, you can progress even much faster. So these are very good conditions. So after this 3 week break, we shall have our first real meditation here. It will bring about a lot of understanding. So I will off the light. Then you all can start your meditation straight away. Everybody has been here before, so I don't have to repeat. For Mimi-san, he got no problem. We just pass him the book. He will understand. Okay. Don't worry. Freddy, I will off. I will off. If you have already trained your mind, when your spiritual faculty is already there, then you just relax body and mind and silence everything. The real meditation is just silent. When the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind is quiet, that is the meditative mind. That is your true mind. So all methods and techniques are but only skillful means to train. If you already have the spiritual faculty, technically you already train. Your mind is already in sati. Because with the spiritual faculty, sadha and virya will make sure sati is there. And when you have sati and samadhi, your mind is very quiet, very peaceful. You don't need to do anything. Sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are clearly. When there is no thought, there is silence. That is your true mind. And that is the one that can understand all condition arising phenomena. All form and mind, they arise from that pure nature. Everything that is condition arising need condition for it to arise. It's only when it is silent, all this can be understood. Without the silent mind, none of this can be understood. That's why all of meditation finally returns to silence. And you can silence and stay at the heart is the best. then from the heart, you can actually allow it to be. Then when the mind has got no center or dwelling, that is the true mind in its purest essence. That is the oneness. That is the true nature. There is no thought, nothing inside. But it is complete and full. Then whatever that comes to your senses, you will understand. All of the Buddha Dhamma, conditioned Dhamma, you will understand. Okay, with that, I will allow you to continue your meditation. I will ring the bell when it's about 9 o'clock. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For the seminar, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. We will do the invocation to the Deva now. Page 6, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the Devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakka Mokkalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditatbu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will start the official Dhamma session. We are supposed to continue from our Diamond Sutta. The last time we were at page, what page was it? 69. Anybody can remember what page? Yeah. Oh, we were there. I thought we also started this one. We also started this one. We also started the actual book. Yeah. How the translation? Yeah, the title, I remember. We were at the title. Okay. Yes, yes. You're right. Okay. Ah, I got fold the page. Yes. Page 3. Yeah. Page 3. Yeah. Okay. Sadhu. Okay. We will read the verse for opening a sutta. The page before that title. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. This is the page before the title, before page 1. Then we finish page 1, I think. Then we were at page 3. Okay, maybe we can go back a little bit, page 2, page 2, third paragraph. At that time, those people make a good impression on me, that was spoken by Master Xuan Hua, and was clear that they could work within the discipline of the Buddha Dharma. During that session, they requested explanation of the Surangama Sutta. Then it is said, Dhamma does not arise alone. Relying on condition, it is born. So this is very true. Even our this particular Diamond Sutta, there were many, many conditions before. Then finally, I think Hui Rong was the one who requested it. And because of the sign and all these conditions, so it's meant to be. Then the book came. The sutta came, everything came. The way is not practiced in vain. Meeting condition, there is a response. All Dhamma, they arise in this way. There must be causes and conditions for Dhamma to unfold, especially this Diamond Sutta. Wherever it takes ground, that place will be a sacred place. I think we have gone through in our earlier what they call pre Diamond Sutta session. So when we were going through the summarized version where we had it on this book, this is the summarized version that I printed for you all. I think it's on one of the chapter. I forgot which chapter. I think it's chapter 6, if I'm not wrong. Is it chapter 6? Oh, may not be chapter 6. Was it 12 or what? 12, I remember it's 12, Yeah, chapter 12. It says, furthermore, Subhati, if any person in any place were to teach even four lines of this sutta, the place where they taught it would become sacred ground and would be revered by all kinds of beings. How much more sacred would the place become if that person then studied and observed the whole sutta? Subhati, you should know that any person who does that would surely attain something rare and profound. Wherever this sutta is honored and revered, there is a sacred site enshrining the presence of the Buddhas, the Buddha, one of the Buddha's most venerable disciples. So this chapter 12 actually has great meaning. So when you understand its significance, you will know the great significance of this Diamond Sutta. That's why the timing is such, it's appropriate, people are ready. So that's why the condition arise. Then Master Seno went on, he said, I met their request, and during the summer of 1968, the Surangama Sutta was lectured in its entirety. It was followed by the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Blossom Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. So we also covered the Surangama Sutta before this. Then regarding the Lotus Sutta, we covered part of it. We didn't really go into it, because it's very long. Then Master Sena say, I have come to America to create High Master, future patriarch, Bodhisattvas and Buddhas. After hearing the Surangama Sutta, several Americans wish to live the home life under him to broaden their understanding of the Buddha Dhamma and for the sake of all the other fruits of the way who will follow them. I'm lecturing the Dhamma Blossom Sutta on the anniversary of the day Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva left the home life. Several people requested an explanation of the Vajra Sutta. Vajra Sutta is the Diamond Sutta. So this one was also tied up with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva on the anniversary of that day. So we also had a special puja that day on Kuan Yin Day, proposed and requested by Brahmasuri and participated by all of us. So all this will help. And it was very meaningful. We even chant the Heart Sutta. Then the whole of the condition and participation were beautiful. So that sets the condition for many, many things to unfold. Then Master Sena continues, I consented and began to speak the sutta in addition to the lecture on the Dhamma Blossom Sutta. The explanation of the Vajra Sutta or the Diamond Sutta will be simplified by omitting the usual discussion of the seven types of sutta titles and the five profound meaning. Let's just open the door and look at the mountain. So this one is a Mandarin way of expression. Kai men jian san. So those who know Mandarin, you will understand. So you translate direct to English, it sounds funny. Just open the door and look at the mountain. Because Mandarin has a very peculiar way of expressing what they call candidness. When you want to be very sincere and very candid about whatever you want to discuss. So they say, why not we do it this way? We open the door and look at the mountain. You don't go and hide anything behind the door, which is you don't keep inside your heart with a motive and all those things. You open up and everybody can see everything. So that's how this words come. Kai men jian san, or in Cantonese, hoi men kin san. That one you just won't know. So the work divides into three sections. General explanation of the title, the translator, then detailed explanation of the text. So the third one is most important. So the first one is just a general explanation for those who are new, not familiar with the sutta. This first section may help so that you can be introduced to the particular Diamond Sutta title. Vajra is a Sanskrit word which defies translation because of its numerous connotation. But essentially, Vajra is the indestructible substance. Means it's something very, very hard. Usually represented by diamond. That's why it's called Vajra. Vajra is here, metaphorically, extended to refer to the principle of this discourse on the Dhamma. Vajra refers to the Vajra mind, the Vajra nature, the Vajra prajna. So these are very important understanding. Because when you understand what Vajra is, like it's something eternally indestructible. So when you have the Vajra Prajna, is the indestructible wisdom. Then you have the Vajra nature, indestructible nature, which in turn is the Vajra Prajna again. Then you have the Vajra mind, which is indestructible mind, the true mind, the pure mind. So the Vajra Prajna is the Vajra nature, which in turn is also the Vajra Prajna. So these are related, interconnected. Vajra is identical with the self nature. That's why we always hear about self nature, true nature, oneness nature. All these are different words to describe what the essence is. That's why each and every one of us, the Buddha said, we have this Buddha nature in us. Understand? That Buddha nature, some call it the self nature, but it's not a person. It's not a true self or eternal self. It has got nothing to do with self. That's why it's called a nature. Your true nature, your original nature. But some people like to use the word self nature. Means pen sing. Understand? Original nature. But some, they still want to retain that entity, that ultimate self, Atman, especially the Hindu. They have this teaching from what they call the Hindu teaching. What is the name? A very famous one. They refer to the Atman one. The Upanishad. The true self. The ultimate self. Means they say the universal self. So these are various name that people want to associate with, because when they cannot break free from understanding what the form and mind is, they always believe that this one is real, this one has a entity. That's why they say the ultimate self, the true self. Believing that when they become enlightened, they belong to that ultimate Atman. That's why they call it the true self, the ultimate self. But when you understand it clearly, there is no self within there. It's just a nature, just like your karmic nature or your true nature. It's a nature. Understand that? Karmic nature, you understand that summation of all your karmic past, it formed that nature. How can you call that an entity? Understand that? It's all recorded in nature's law. It's a nature by itself. Then there is the true nature within existence, which is beyond the karmic nature. Karmic nature is a small part of the conditioned world's nature. And the conditioned world also have its nature. That's why we always define the four aspects of Dhamma, remember? First aspect of Dhamma is there is nature. Means the whole of the conditioned world, the existence, the universe, we call that nature. Then there are nature's law that governs nature. Understand? That is the second aspect of nature. That's why there are four aspects. And when you understand that there is nature's law that governs nature, then you know, if you understand this law, if you perform your duty, you do your duty towards this law, that is the third aspect of the understanding of nature. The third aspect is very important. Means you perform your duty, you abide by this nature's law through an understanding. That's how you cultivate and you perfect your develop the perfection of wisdom and understanding. Then when you do that duty towards that law, then you accord and flow and you develop great wisdom to understand life, to have the ability to realize that understanding, that liberate the form and mind and connect it to the whole of existence. That's why through that connection, that form and mind understand that it can live. Now then that will lead us to the fourth aspect of nature. The fruition of whatever duty or cultivation that you have developed. When you perform that duty towards that nature's law, or when you develop the cultivation to awaken the understanding of that mind that have the perfection of wisdom, then that form and mind will reap the fruition of it, the result of your hard work. So that is the fourth aspect of Dhamma. So it's similar to the three phases of Dhamma. The three phases of Dhamma, you remember? First one is what? Pariyatti. Pariyatti is the learning of the doctrine. After you learn, you put it into practice. You cultivate. You develop patipatti. Then after you have gone through the second phase, after you have developed the practice, the cultivation, you will reap the fruit of it. The third phase of Dhamma will appear, Pativeda. So the third phase of Dhamma is the fourth phase of nature, the four aspects of nature. Then the what they call Patipatti is actually the third phase within the four phases of understanding the four aspects of nature. So first aspect is to know that there is nature, then there are laws that govern nature. So law that govern nature is like Pariyatti. You learn the teaching, means you cultivate the understanding of this teaching, means the nature's law that governs life and existence, all of Dhamma, you develop the understanding. So Pariyatti is the learning of the doctrine, the teaching, which is truth, which is Dhamma, which are the laws of nature. Yeah. So these four aspects and the three phases of Dhamma, they are tying together. Yeah. So when you define Dhamma as nature, then it's very beautiful. Yeah. So this sutta actually is linked towards the self nature, the true nature, the ultimate nature, or Buddha nature. That's why it's the most profound, ultimate teaching. That's why it is called the Diamond Sutta, Paramita Sutta, Prajna Paramita Sutta, one of the perfection of wisdom sutta. And this one is supposed to be the most penetrative and the most profound. Like I explained earlier on, the Heart Sutta is also a Prajna Paramita Sutta. You know what is Paramita, perfection. Prajna is wisdom, so perfection of wisdom. All these sutta are perfection of wisdom. They are very, very profound, ultimate suttas, full of wisdom. But at least Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva introduced us to the five aggregate of form and mind. Then from there, he goes into the penetrative teaching. Through understanding the unreality of this five aggregate of form and mind. That's why he said the five aggregate of form and mind, they are empty. Wu yun jie kong. But when it comes to Diamond Sutta, there is no mention of any teaching at all. There is no five aggregate of form and mind. There is no essential Dhamma, nothing. It just talk about practice or cultivation. That cultivation has to be at that level, at that understanding. And then only is Vajra Prajna Paramita. That's why this sutta, very few people can understand and teach. If you don't have that understanding of the Dhamma, you cannot understand what this sutta say. So because of that, it is very, very rare for people to speak on this sutta. And those who can do it, they are real one. So we go on. I finish this part, then I think we can have some discussion. Vajra is identical with the self nature, the essential life force of all living beings. See, I every time tell you what? Your pulse of life, your heartbeat. This is the seat of consciousness. From here, everything arises, the pulse of life. That's why the heart pound and the sana, because this is from your karmic force, your karmic nature. That karmic force sustain life, And when the karmic force stop, means destructive karma hit. So there is no more condition for the karmic force to support this form and mind. Then what happened? What happened? No more karmic force. What happened? Your heart cannot beat. When your heart cannot beat, what happened? They send you to ICU. Then they put the high voltage on. Try to get your consciousness back. But that consciousness cannot come in if the life force don't pump. Means the karmic force. Because it needs the karmic force to sustain the form and mind. Because that consciousness that is inside, without the karmic force, it cannot continue. But there is no more life force energy to sustain this form and mind. That's why this consciousness, the random of consciousness, they have to separate and live. And you call that death, die. So who die? Nothing die. Conditions is to be consciousness separate, form and mind separate, and you call death. There is no death. When you have awareness, when you have sti, when you cultivate, you will understand all this. Because when I was very young, I went through that death process. And I didn't know it was a death process. It's meant to be. My nature want me to understand. I remember that time I was only 8 or 9 years old. I like to, as kid, that time we were very active playing in the field, especially on weekends. And even school days, when I'm in the afternoon session, morning I will go and have fun, play and do a lot of things, very active. Then by the time I come back, I'm very tired. Then I normally take a bath, then I go to school. And my father knew, he saw the trend of my report card. Every time I afternoon school, my result is very lousy. He knew. Then he go and talk to the headmaster. He said, I want my son to go to morning school. The headmaster said, can. He said, wait till standard 5, standard 6. Then we put him morning school. Standard 1, standard 2, afternoon school. So when I went to morning school, I had to sleep early. Then I wake up early. Then I went to school. Then my mind was not so tired. Body was not so tired. That's why I study better. My result, I can see from the report card. My father also knew. A lot of difference. So that day, when I was, I think, standard 2 or standard 3, I forgot already, 8 or 9 years old, I went out and played that morning until very, very tired. Tired until I knew I got no more strength to walk on. I managed to reach home, then I just collapsed on the bed. Then I was so exhausted. Don't even have any energy to think or do anything. Just want to sleep. Then very funny. That time I don't know how to meditate. I don't even know what Dhamma is. And because I was so tired, I remember. That time the mind was so clear. Very funny. I don't even have any Dhamma. I don't even know how to meditate. But I was so tired. Then the body just rested down there. Then I start. Now I know it's awareness. That time I don't know it was awareness. I start to be aware of what is happening inside my whole body. How that craving force that tie the consciousness to this body and trap it inside. How it dissipate. Well, I got no more energy. So that consciousness and that craving force cannot actually continue. It's just like you are about to die. You got no more physical energy, no more life force, nothing. You were so weak. Then I saw this. Now I knew it's craving force. But at that time, I don't know what is it. I only knew that all this, the whole this so-called consciousness, that time I don't even know what was consciousness, to this body, that one dissipate, starts to like lessen. Then all of a sudden, the whole thing like come back. The three areas of consciousness come back into one. Then it just come out. then that random of consciousness that come out above, up there in the ceiling, then I can see my own body down there. Then I can hear one without the senses. My brother come in, he talk. Then I want to speak to him. He cannot hear me. To me is I shouted at him. I call him. But he cannot hear me. Then only I realize I'm out. Then that instant, there is a message that came and say I must gain back control of my body. I must go back to my body. Otherwise, people cannot hear me. So I went in. Zoop. Nobody teach me, but I know how to go in. But the trouble is when I went in, I cannot take control of this body. Then there was fear. There was fear. How come like that one? Like, this body is not yours. No. You cannot go in. No. So what happened was, I give it a struggle. No. The mind very determined. Bam. Then I went in. No. The moment I went in, I gained consciousness. No. The first thing I want to do is to check that I'm not dreaming. That my brother really went in and say all those words. So I went out, talked to my brother. He said, yeah, you were sleeping like a log, is it? How do you know, is it? I said, never mind. I just want to confirm that you really went in and say all those things. He said, yeah. That's what I knew. Then I just left it as that. Until I'm 30 years old, 1989. Then only I start to understand all these things. That's why this consciousness, when the craving force is no more, it's like death consciousness. Then it can come out. But that time funny. No fear, nothing. And I can even like aware weakness inside how this craving force dissipates. And how this consciousness come out. That nature is still there. But because this one actually went through like a death experience. Means that consciousness actually came out. Life force, I don't know. I think also no more. Otherwise it cannot come out. But not meant to die yet. That's why it managed to go in. And it understood what that thing was. It's meant for me to later develop the understanding. Yeah. Otherwise, I cannot understand all this if I don't go through a real death experience. But this one is not like those in the medical field one, where they go through surgery and all those things, near death experience. That one is totally different. Mine was because it was exhausted. No more craving force, no more physical energy. Then it came out. That's why later on, when I developed the understanding of the Dhamma and the Kautilya, then I realized this mind is very different. It has this ability, and consciousness is different from that true nature. These two are not identical. And that true nature cannot come out, cannot leave. It's not a person, it's not a human being, it's not an entity. It got no name, man, nothing. Man. But we create words to describe it. Understand? Not? Yeah. And that one, aware, just aware. The moment you know, the aggregate come out already. Understand? Not? Perception come out already. Understand? Not? Feeling, activity of mind, sankhara, words, concept, idea, all come out already. That's why sati is before the knowing. Awareness before the knowing. That is very near the true mind. But the moment is aware, is actually out already. Is actually out already, about to create already, about to arise the condition arising mind already, the five aggregate of form in mind. That's why they are very near. Because of the senses, the conscious trapped inside, it create. Very fast, the five aggregate of form in mind come out. And the true nature, which has just the awareness before the knowing, that one, it has to be silent to be aware. If you are not silent, you are at the thought. That's why you cannot be aware. And you cannot understand. Okay? So this part is to actually make it clearer for those who already developed the understanding and the cultivation. Then later on, as you meditate, you will go through all this and you will understand. Then there is no more fear. then you can actually do it. When you completely relax, you don't need to exercise and you're so tired like what happened to me. You relax, silent. And it can go back. The whole thing can happen. But don't try it when you are not ready. Because if something happened, then people cannot understand. They thought you dead. Really, no breathing, nothing. No pulse, nothing. Then they go and cremate you. Then you cannot come back. So sometimes when you are not ready, don't try to play with it. But when you are ready, your nature will know. And your nature will understand. And you will know how to go through. So final cessation of form and mind will happen naturally. Those who have the sati, the true mind, the true understanding, there is no such thing as death. You will know nothing die. It's that nature. And you can see the form and mind is the form and mind. Nothing to do with that nature. That's why these two are different. Completely different. That's why you will come to know that this five aggregate of form and mind is karmically conditional for you to come to this universe, this world system, to live life, to experience life, to do what you have to do. But most living beings, because of delusion and ignorance, because of karma, they can never have this understanding. Because they never connect to their nature, they never meditate, they never silence their mind. And they don't have this understanding. That's why this understanding of the Dhamma is so important. And without this understanding, living being miserable. Suffering is everywhere. Oh, still early, huh? Okay. I will continue a bit more. Then we can have a discussion. Vajra is identical to the self nature, the essential life force of all living beings, because both are indestructible and adamantine. What is the meaning of this? Anybody knows the meaning? Yun Chan, you know the meaning? Never mind. If you happen to know the meaning, let me know. I also don't know what is the meaning. I think it's quite near to the word indestructible. Furthermore, the eternally dwelling mind. This one is the dwelling mind. All beings have in common is the same as the Vajra nature. So this is the eternally, eternal one, eternal life. Dwelling mind means the true mind of all living beings. Have in common is the same as the Vajra nature, since it too cannot be destroyed. Prajna is the highest form of wisdom living beings can develop or realize. Its real mark, prajna, eternally indestructible, it is therefore referred to as prajna paramita or Vajra prajna. According to the traditional explanation of the seven types of sutta title, Vajra is the title refers metaphorically to prajna, an essential Buddhist dhamma. But more pointedly, it may be said that prajna is Vajra, the mind is Vajra, the nature is Vajra. To discriminate by way of analogy only serves to doubt the brilliance of that splendid truth. So this Vajra means indestructible. Although various phenomena may be used as figurative expression of the one principle, as is here the case in speaking of the one principle as the indestructible Vajra, originally and conclusively, the one principle is singular beyond any analogy. Such division of the one principle are mere expedient which serves to accord with the various understanding of living being. Divided, we have the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. United is the Vajra Sutta. That's why when you separate them, the word Prajna come in. But when you understand that Vajra and Prajna, they carry the same meaning, then you have this Vajra Sutta, means Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta is understood. It could also be called the Prajna Paramita Sutta. There is no need for rigid interpretation. The Vajra Sutta itself speaks of no fixed method. See? That's why method and technique. There are people who don't understand meditation. Because the real Dhamma got nothing to do. The real meditation got nothing to do with method and technique. Method and technique are just a series of what they call expression to describe something. If a person holds tightly to their views that one is one and two is two, the explanation of the principle becomes lifeless. So this is for people who are rigid. That's why I say Dhamma is not rigid. Wisdom is not fixed, not rigid. Whereas knowledge is rigid. That's why I just like method and technique. They are just a series of instructions to do things. Nothing to do with meditation. But people become gullible. They always say, to meditate, you must have a method and a technique. Otherwise, how to meditate? Oh, sound very logical. So this is knowledge, because it's logical. It's rigid. You must have a method and a technique. Method and technique means what? Every time do the same thing. But wisdom is not rigid. You cannot say, every time got such situation, use this type of wisdom. It doesn't apply. But every situation, every condition, the parameters are so different. Like, it can be in the same place, like my house. Okay? But different time, this house got different condition. When Kayanamita is here, again the Kayanamita, each and every one is different. The non-human around also different. The weather, the season, everything also different. So how can you say, oh, you have this type of problem, brother, you say, do this. You go and quote me and ask him to do the same thing, you sure get into trouble. Because when I tell that type of person at that time to do that thing, because my nature understand the condition behind it. Because a lot of people quote me, even when I was working in the university, or in JKR, or something, they say, my technician, I got one technician, this was a very good example. There was one situation where there was a very heavy thunderstorm and rain. Then the whole bridge was washed away, actually. The apartment in front. A big cavity there. 20, 30 feet wide. The whole sinkhole collapsed. Then everybody panicked. The whole university thought, wow, that road has to close for 6 to 9 months. Where is the lifeline for the university? I went there and have a look. They asked me to estimate how long I need to repair the thing and how much it costs. Then I did a calculation, I did a simple design. I said, maximum 2 weeks, I will fix it. Everybody don't believe it. You sure? You better be very, very sure. How much? I said, less than 100,000. Nobody believe it. No. And actually, I did it up within 10 days. And my technician and technical assistant didn't know what I do. No. He saw me order those big block of stones, then the concrete and all those things. But he didn't understand my design and how I do it. So he saw the whole process. He helped me supervise. So he saw the whole process, how I repair back the whole thing. Then there was one Chinese New Year, remember? I was on leave for about 1 week plus. Again, there's another sinkhole at another place. This time it's not under a bridge. A similar sinkhole, but much smaller proportion. So everybody panicked. I was not around. And they had to wait till I come back, which is about 1 week later. So this technician or technical assistant, TA, he think he understand. He said, jangan takut. He tell the chief security officer. engineer sudah bikin. I tahu macam mana. So he go and order the same thing and he go and concrete the whole thing. Then this chief of security, they call it the ketua keselamatan, in charge of security of the whole campus. He very smart, no? He said, no. Engineer not around, I will not open the road. I want to wait till the engineer come back. He said, why are you scared? Is it? I follow him on it. Then this security chief, he also very smart. He said, okay, let's see. Wait another day. He said, if nothing happened, then I open up. Next morning he come. The sinkhole formed back a bit. No, he said, close the whole road. Wait till engineer come back. So when I came back, I said, this is not the same situation. I said, the happening is the same, but this one is different. There is no bridge underneath there. So then I suspect there is a underground cavern. But that cavern was so deep, no, about 80 feet down, no, I think 30 meters down, no, and nobody can see that cavern, no. I said, there must be a waterway somewhere deep down there. I said, I don't know where. Then that TA said, no, Jetio, tada, kita sudah check semua. Then I went down the slope. No? It was a very high slope. Oh, then I saw, with all the lalang, the bush all covered up, it was built in the early 1920s or 1930s. Very old covered, very deep down. And then I knew, I said, this covered must have moved. Yeah. During the olden day, there is no proper collar design or something. Then I order the excavator to come and open up. That's why after I did it, I sealed the whole thing back. Then only he start to understand. Oh, Jetio, ini bukan, not something very simple, is it? Ini bukan senang. Banyak possibility, is it? I say, because of that, you need engineer. So, a lot of things, you cannot just rigidly say, last time I saw Brother Teo do like that, you also go and do like that. You know? Understand not? Because every condition, every situation is different. Every living being is different. Then, the whatever Dhamma behind, you have to have that understanding. That's why wisdom is a complete understanding of the nature's law. Then only you have a very good idea of what this thing is. If you got only some knowledge of what this is, you may not get it right, and you may not understand what is going on. Then you can get into trouble. So, wisdom, when you understand, means you understand what? Because it's not a knowledge. It's not something rigid. Wisdom can be applied to any situation. That is Vajra Prajna, genuine wisdom. That's why wisdom got two types, no? Genuine and non-genuine. Non-genuine is knowledge. So they thought they are very wise, they have wisdom, but actually knowledge-based. Yeah. So genuine wisdom and knowledge-based are different. Okay, so maybe we can stop here for discussion. Up to here, any question? Yeah, yes. Use the mic. Okay. Oh, the meaning, very good. Oh, thank you. Wow. This one is really good. This one is, that's a notebook. Google. Is it Google? Dictionary, very good. Adamantine. It's an adjective, utterly unyielding or firm in attitude or opinion. The second one is more appropriate. The second meaning is too hard to cut, break or pierce, indestructible. Like a diamond in luster. Yeah, correct. The meaning is the second and third one. So the meaning is the same as the word indestructible. At the meantime. Thank you. Okay, any question so far? Or anything you all want to discuss and add on to based on what we have gone through? Yes, Yun Chan, pass the mic to her. Yes. This is the Mahayana way, huh, of explaining the sutta. They have a lot of this condition behind on. To me, it's not important. Not important. So this is their tradition, so that they always start, is it the sutta must have initially a person who speak the sutta, is it? Then it must have a location and all those things, and many of all this. Then from there, all these conditions must be fulfilled. Then only a sutta can be spoken. Not important. To me, it's just their tradition. Tradition. My way of cultivation is very different. I don't like all this type of thing. All the flowery or whatever, all the introduction, the tradition, all the. I straight away go into the essence. That's why when I listen to the Dhamma talk, if I listen, I cannot find any essence, I will just walk away. Because it's very difficult to find somebody who can speak the Dhamma and the truth. During the early day, I find it so difficult, so rare. Only once a while, where I was in charge of recording and all those things, only once a while, when I met the one that has the Dhamma, when they speak, the Dhamma really come up, and it's so different. But even those type of Dhamma that initially I heard and received, of course, initially I appreciate them, but it was only bits and pieces here and there, like over a 1 hour plus talk, maybe two or three places like that. But seldom can you find something like the whole Dhamma talk is full of Dhamma, the real Dhamma. That time was very rare until I heard from Master Xuan Hua. He was the first Mahayana teacher that I heard. I got so much Dhamma inside there. Then later on, when I met some of my other teacher, then again it's different. That type of Dhamma they speak is from their heart. It's different. It's not knowledge based. It's not from the book. That's why you will appreciate all those type of true penetrative Dhamma. Because these are from their own cultivation, their own realization and experiences, and they can share with you. Just like a lot of the Dhamma that I share with you come from my own cultivation, my own realization and understanding. That's why I can share with you. That's why a lot of this, you realize they are not in the books. They are not taught any other place. Because these are all very penetrative and profound understanding that arise through self-realization. And this one has a lot of to do with my past cultivation, this nature's past cultivation. Like I used to tell many of you, this life I never learned one. A lot of the thing that I understand this life, almost 80% of it, I never learned this life one. You ask me how I understand, I can only tell you it's from the past. Well, I check. How did I understand all this? I also don't know. But I know it's like that. That's the only thing I know. And I can even teach you how to do it. Because nature's law is like that. Then you ask me how I know. I never read from book. Book also never write a lot of this. But that nature understand, because when it connect, it inherit the past. It's just like karma. When the condition is there, when you set the base for good condition, for the good karma to arise, then the good karma will arise as well. Then you reap what you sow. That's why when you follow the Dhamma way, you avoid all evil, do good. Then you develop wisdom to purifying your mind. The condition will fall into place. Then you inherit your good karma. Then you will start to see the Dhamma unfolding. Then you will start to realize the good life. Because all these are the conditions you set. Then when you penetrate, develop the understanding, then you silent and your mind connect to that nature, and then only your spiritual nature manifests. This spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. Remember the green book, who are you, what are you? These two are separate. Your karma is the moment you are born, you are born of it, head to it, condition supported by it, and you are what you are because it follows you all the time. That is karmic nature. Spiritual nature, different. You can never inherit spiritual nature until you silence your mind and connect. Go in. If you cannot develop the training of the mind to silence and connect, you can never inherit. That's why when you have the silent mind, the spiritual faculty, then you connect, then you inherit. And then only your spiritual understanding from the past cultivation, they will start to come. Then as you transform inside here, that transformation will allow you to understand. That's why the understanding will come by itself. I always tell you when you meditate, don't try to know. Just silent. And it will understand by itself. That nature will understand by itself. Because it's not from the thought, it's not knowledge, it's not from the words. It's from the true mind, that pure nature, the understanding, it will awaken. It has to insight into phenomena. It has to awaken. It's not a knowledge. It's not using thought on. You cannot go and think about it. You think about it, you will get a lot of knowledge. But you can contemplate and reflect into it. It's different. When you contemplate and reflect, it stabilizes your understanding. Means you must awaken first. You must have the initial wisdom first. Like the Dhamma door open already. Then you saw the Dhamma inside. But it has not stabilized. Means you cannot leave it yet. It's not part of you. But you understand what that thing is. And then you reflect and contemplate. And then it stabilizes the understanding. The moment it stabilizes, you become part of it. Means the Dhamma become a living reality. The Dhamma become part of you. Yeah. That is after you reflect, contemplate. That is stabilized. So the three types of wisdom, they are actually meant to be that way. That's why you got Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya. Then you got the last one, Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom born of Bhavana, the direct seeing. No contemplation, nothing. The Chintamaya Panya second phase one is contemplative one. When you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into it, then you stabilize the understanding. And that one is Chintamaya Panya. But Bhavana, no thought one. Silent. Because it is about mindfulness, deep, nothing else. Then Suttamaya Panya is for those who have developed the training from the past. Like you already cultivate before. Then suddenly when the condition is there, the moment you hear the truth, you straight away understand. Like what happened to my this life, this form of mind. Every time I hear truth, I understand very fast. I penetrate very fast. Sometimes the person who speak that so-called truth, he may recite it from a book. He still does not understand. But this form of mind, this nature already understood straight away. The moment it hear, the moment it actually heard the sutta or the truth, it penetrates straight away. So, Kondanya, like Kondanya. Sariputta also same. You remember? He heard from Asaji. He saw Asaji was so serene, so mindful, and so like perfect. So he waited for him to finish his meal where he was observing Asaji doing the pindapat or something. Then when Asaji finished the food, Sariputta approached him. He said, "May I know who your teacher is? And may I know what he teach?" Then you know Asaji been very, humble, very humble. He told Sariputta, he said, "I don't know much," he said. "I know very little," he said. He said, "What I have understood is just very little." Then because Sariputta got a lot of wisdom, he said, "Don't worry," he said, "whatever little thing that you know, can you relate it to me? Or whatever little thing that your master or teacher has taught you, can you relate to me?" Then Asaji, being very humble, say, "Yeah, can," he said. I only heard this, is it? Actually, he already arahan. Because after the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, they all become arahan. So initially, it's Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, remember? Then Kondanya alone becomes Sotapan. Then the Buddha followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, or non-self. Immediately, all five become arahan. Actually, Asaji already arahan at that time, but he very humble. Then he only explained to Sariputta this important message that the Buddha actually talked about under Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Because everything is conditionalizing. So he told Sariputta, whatever that happened in this world, he said, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained. Just two stanza. Straight away, Sariputta become Sotapan. Straight away. It's possible. You know why? You know? Because when I read that sutta, I reflected. You know? I said, if anybody were to say this to me, before I know the Dhamma, I will also understand. I will also understand. I have the ability to understand. This life, you know, this form of mind. I understood clearly what that message was. Everything is conditionalizing. In fact, this cruise ship, I didn't speak much Dhamma with Mifong and Suyan. I only spoke this. Conditioned Dhamma. In Mandarin, I think second last day or before we came back. Then I think Mifong got it. Suyan also appreciated what he said. He understand. Now he learned some Mandarin. Yin Yan Fa, condition Dhamma. So, because everything is condition arising, Anasana. Without condition, nothing arises. When condition arises, phenomena arise, Dhamma arise, existence arise, everything arise. So that's why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. So when mind arises, everything come to be. Because our mind precedes all sankhara, anasana. You know what is sankhara? Mental activity. And mental activity is the source of condition, anasana. That's why without mind, there is no knowing. Without mind, there is no phenomena. What is a phenomena? Can you remember? No? What is a phenomena? No. Activity of mind is sankhara. Anything what? Perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. That's not. Whatever that mind can perceive is a phenomena. That's not. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So when mind arises, because mind got aggregate perception, that's why the phenomena will arise. And what is phenomena? Because the mind perceives it. That's why phenomena can be any movement, any activity. Like when I speak, the vibration go into the mind, magnify to here. This become hearing consciousness. This is a phenomena, understand not? Vibration, hearing. You become conscious of it. And these are all phenomena, even this handphone. Then whatever you come to perceive, all of the external form, the phenomenal world, they are phenomena. So you got physical phenomena, the human body, physical part, understand? Can follow? Physical, like whatever physical thing that you do, when you walk, you stand, you lie down, or you sleep, or you do action, all these are phenomena, like my hand movement, these are phenomena, understand? Physical. Then mental is all of your aggregate movement, they are mental phenomena, understand? All of your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, your thinking, your planning, your scheming, your whatever, that all of your conscious state, they are your mental phenomena. That all of nature's phenomena, like the turning of the fan, the vibration from the fan, aircon, the temperature, everything, you perceive it through the mind. But these are nature's phenomena. But when it's your breathing, your heartbeat, it's your physical phenomena, within kaya. So that's why all of nature's phenomena, you can subdivide into three: physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. And you need mind to perceive them. That's why sometimes there is no movement, yet there is phenomena. But the moment it perceives, through the silence it perceives, there is a phenomena. Any perception is a phenomena. So, condition arising world means what? Condition arising world means, without condition, nothing arises. So this form and mind is karmically conditioned up, set up. That's why it has the ability to create phenomena. So whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And the Buddha says, 99.999% that happened to the form and mind has to do with your karma. Understand? That's why under the fifth contemplation, is it, all living beings, regardless of whether human being or non-human, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because... And this is a very powerful statement, though. Means 99.999% all karmically delivered. That's why I always put the 99.999% because it's only the handful of enlightened being that is not subject to karma. It's the 0.00001%. Yeah. So, everything that happened to you, you cannot blame people. Why my husband treat me like that? Why my children like that? Why my parents like that? Why I born like that? Why I so sweet? It's nothing to do with why. It's all karma. You are born of it, had to it, conditions, and you are what you are every moment, every instant because of it. So that's why when Sariputta heard that whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained, the pancha niyamas. And the most powerful spiritual law is the karma niyama, law of karma. From there, all the essential teaching come about. When you know karma plays such a great role in your life, you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it, what must you do? You must take care of karma. That's why you cannot blame anybody for what happened to your life. Then when you take care of karma means what? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Otherwise, how to take care of karma? That's why the advice of the Buddha comes from this understanding. You have to avoid all evil to good. Then only you take care of your karma. And you have to develop wisdom to be free from suffering. That's why purify your mind. And this is the basis of cultivation. That's why all Sammasambuddha, when they come, they give the same advice. That's why they strive on with heedfulness. Cultivate heedfulness to avoid all evil. Do good. Purify your mind. You don't cultivate heedfulness to develop vipassana alone. That one is word. No. You cultivate heedfulness to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil. Means you must understand what are evil roots. Ever mindful of the evil roots. Because they are the root of all evil. They make you very evil. Any aspect of mind state that has the mental intention that carries the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, your karma will fall. You will become miserable. Because they are the root of all evil. You become evil. You will commit a lot of negative karma. That's why you must not have selfishness. You must not have greed. You must not have desire. You must not have craving. You must not be selfish, greedy, irresponsible. You must not have emotion, violent, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All these are evil, root of all evil. No jealousy, no envy. That's why you must see the seriousness of evil roots. You cannot even have a tin of it in your heart. That is real cultivation. A lot of people take it lightly because they don't understand what are evil roots. They are roots of all evil. You cannot. I already told you, Yunchan. You listen, huh? Listen again. This is a very good question. Listen again. When you say you already have the evil root, so how? So who is that you? Now we discuss. You all cannot penetrate the Dhamma because you never penetrate this one. You already have the evil root. What is this you? You always associate this fellow wrongly. Who is this you when you talk about you already have the evil root? You think this fellow is you. The Buddha already told you, this is not you. Kuan Yin also told you, this is not you. That's why anger is not you, understand or not? Delusion is not you. It's conditioned arising state within the mind. It's the conditioned mind, mundane mind. It's not you. Your true mind got none of all this. Understand or not? Why you always carry that? That's why the atta is very strong. I already have the evil root. So what am I to do? The standard question, what must I do? Relative. Because you don't want to inquire, who is the you? Who? If it's this five aggregate of form and mind, then see clearly that this is not you. But this five aggregate of form and mind, this one, the Buddha say, is born of your karma. Understand not? Heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And this is the one that is subject to karma. That's not. But this fellow is not you. That's not. That's why the book, the green book, Who Are You? What Are You, Harry? Reminded you all. Read this until you understand. This is the whole secret of life. This is what you must penetrate. When you penetrate this, you will be different. You will be like Alicia. She will understand what this is. Because this is very, very important. Your true nature got nothing to do with this five degree of form and mind. Then this five degree of form and mind got two parts. It has the karmic nature that governs all of the condition arising activity in this world. Law of karma, understand? That's why that one you are born of it here to eat conditions. And this one belongs to form and mind. Then there is another spiritual nature that doesn't belong to the form and mind. Understand? The spiritual nature belongs to that eternal nature. The self nature that the Diamond Sutta is talking about. That's why you must connect to that one. Then inherit that one. Then that one develop the wisdom, the prajna. Understand? Understand? That one develop the understanding, the prajna. The prajna, the understanding or the wisdom. Then what happened? Once you have developed this through the spiritual nature, this is the one that is connected to your five aggregate of form and mind. Understand not? Then this one is no longer deluded. Understand not? No longer deluded. Then this one know how to live. Understand? When it's not connected, don't have the prajna, this one, like you say, I already have. Because it's not connected. When it's connected, this form and mind not deluded, how can the evil root be there? Understand? How can it do all those funny things anymore? Because I already told you so many times, never, never worthwhile to do. The karma is like that one. Never, never worthwhile one. Then you cannot do one. It's really, to the wise one, it's really stupid to commit all those things. This will bring about suffering. These are evil root, root of all evil that cause your karmic nature to fall, that brings about suffering and misery. And if that is what you want, I wish you luck.
Then continue to be heedless. Don't train your mind. Don't be heedful. Then don't try to understand anything. The three evil root. Don't even have to know. Why did the Buddha emphasize so much on the three evil root? And people thought, like Four Noble Truth, no? Suffering only, cause of arising. I know. You know. You never go deep into it. You never penetrate the Four Noble Truth. You never penetrate the three evil root. Every time, what is the three evil root? Greed, hatred, delusion. What is greed? The Tao. The deeper aspect of greed, the Tao. Because they never went in. And they don't see the deep danger and meaning of the evil roots. That's why they are the roots of all evil. They make the living being evil. You cannot have them. That's why you have to root them out. You have to relinquish them. You remember the Four Noble Truths, the second turning? What is the second noble truth, second turning? The cause of suffering, which is? Craving is to be abandoned. You have to relinquish it. You have to abandon it. And human beings are all happy-go-lucky, you know. Every day doing the same thing, repeating it in and out. You ask him to relinquish it. I said, never mind. Next time, when I got time, when I retire, I cultivate, I relinquish it. Now I enjoy first. That's why when you really understand, you will be dead serious. You will never allow this to happen. Because when this is not connected back to the wisdom, the prajna nature, which is what the Diamond Sutta is trying to teach you and the Heart Sutta is trying to teach you, this fellow will be in trouble. That's it. Okay, very, very good. Listen again. Okay, just now I point to this, isn't it? So what is this one? Now we put it very clearly. So this one is what? Louder. Yeah. Is it? But there are many who understand. That's why I say this is the condition. Because we should thank you, Chan, luckily she asked. Otherwise, there is no condition. Because this one, a lot of you may think that you already understood. But you haven't, actually. Only some who has actually gone into it on their own. Most of this, when you read the book, you think you understand, I tell you. You will think you understand. But because you never put it to test, you never reflect, contemplate, and go into it, and live it, you will never know whether you penetrate or not. Because the real penetration is not through reading alone. Reading will help to develop the clear understanding. The first phase of Dhamma, remember? Pariyatti, learning of the doctrine. But when you learn, you don't commit to memory. You commit to memory, you become knowledge. That's why I say, forget about memory. Don't try to remember anything. You remember the Heart Sutta? The compilation of short notes. When you meditate, don't try to know. Don't try to remember anything. Just silent. You will understand by itself. And whatever that you need to carry on memory is knowledge. Wisdom, no need to remember one. No need to carry one. The moment you meet situation, you will understand one. You will know how to act, you will know what to do one. And that is real wisdom. When you need to recall through memory and think of how to act, that one is not the real one. That is acting according to memory. And Krishnamurti quote very clearly, acting according to memory is not acting at all. You are using memory to act, not wisdom. You have to act with wisdom, with Dhamma, with understanding, with prajna paramita, wisdom. Very spontaneous, yes. Good. who cut? I never say cut. I never say let go. That one is in inverted comma. It's not cut like that. You read the thing. You know what is the meaning of cut there or not? Cut through the veil of delusion. Understand or not? The veil of delusion, you use a figurative word to cut. Understand or not? Delusion lah. You see, when you say cut, means what? Use scissors to cut. Use scissors to cut what? Or use a knife to cut? Then? Means that word, when you use that word, you have to understand what that word is. To cut through delusion, because English word is like that. Understand now? If you don't use the word cut through delusion, means what? You liberate your mind. Understand now? When you liberate, there is no more delusion. Understand now? But when there is still delusion, the form and mind cannot understand because it's not connected. There is no wisdom. So you have to develop this prajna paramita, or the so-called you read one, to cut through delusion. Understand not? Then only this one becomes the real prajna. Then the real prajna connected, this one not deluded anymore, no longer deluded, then it is incapable of making all the mistake, incapable of having any more suffering, because it's no more deluded by the phenomenal world, no more deluded by the form and mind, because he knows this is not me. Then he no more worry about this form and mind getting sick, getting old or die. Then he understand who die, no one die. Condition arising, separation of condition. Just like how Asaji explained to Sariputta, then he understood that this 5 degrees of form and mind is condition arising. Come it will condition out. Understand? So this one is not me. So when you understand, you don't worry about this fellow getting old, getting sick and die anymore. Understand? That's why you are not deluded. Then when you see all the evil roots, it's because due to delusion they don't understand the evil root arise. But this evil root is not you. Understand? These are conditioned arising state, like anger. How does anger arise? Before you get angry, there was no anger there. But how did it arise? Either through your seeing, hearing, or your thought, one of the senses. Then it arise. Because of condition, it arise. Because of the main culprit, delusion. If you don't have delusion, it can never arise. Who gets angry? What get angry? The form and mind that is deluded get angry. That's why I always say, angry who? Form and mind arguing at another form and mind. Yes, it's condition arising. It's not you. Anger is not fear. It's not you. Who fear? Who fear, I ask you? Who fear? Because you always hold on to this atta. Understand not? The egoic mind, you believe this entity is you. That's why a lot of people thought they so tapan already. They penetrate non-self already. Not me. Like you say in the retreat. They also know this is not me. But when there is fear, there is anger. I still got anger. I still got fear. I have not penetrated. And they say they already penetrated anatta. They already so tapan. What is going on? They contradict themselves. And they don't know what is going on because the thought is active. When thought is active, egoic mind is active. That's why the thought must die. And the thought refused to die. Very hard to die. She will know. Because she went through that depression, everything. When a person in depression, the cocoon of thought is so stubborn, so fierce, he refused to die. That's why it can make them miserable. So, yes. Can. You cannot say like that, because a lot of people don't understand that. They always say our true nature already wise, already enlightened, already pure. This is actually theoretically maybe. Like I say, logical. Sound very logical. Because undefiled. Because it's the true mind. It's unconditioned. So nothing can defile it. Understand? So technically true. But in real life, it's not true. Understand? But in real life, what are we talking about? We are talking about a form and mind. With this form and mind, yeah, how can you say it's already essentially pure and I try to be here? I cannot be here, understand? But this is the true nature. I have to use this because I'm drawing on a whiteboard. You have to look. Because I cannot say true nature, then you don't understand. This fellow is already eternally wise. No defilement, nothing, because it's the unconditioned. It's the oneness nature, it's your true nature, your self nature, or whatever nature, oneness nature. But this fellow cannot go inside here and live, understand? This form and mind is what you come to this world all about. And we are talking about the one living life is this form and mind. This is the fellow who suffer, understand? That's why I say this fellow, you cannot say, oh, the Zen master say, originally pure already, I don't need to do anything, I enlightened already. Then you think you silence your mind, you enlightened? Not like that one. This form and mind has to develop the awakening. When it's connected, the silent mind, when you have sati, means this mind, the mundane mind, when it's silent, completely silent, when there is sati, mindfulness, just aware, without thought. That's why I say silent. Don't try to know anything. Then it's connected. Connected doesn't mean this fellow is inside here, no. This fellow is the oneness nature, no. Connected, no. Then this, wait, listen. Then this entity, the form and mind cease to exist, understand not? The egoic mind. The egoic mind only exists when thought exists, understand not? Now you understand, When there is no thought, silent, connect, this entity cease, understand not? Then you use this to meditate. And this one, direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, jnana dasana, without word one, it awakened. That nature, that silent, awakened. Then only that wisdom come in, no, understand? Then only this one, because it's connected to this form and mind, and it awakened, that's why this form and mind will understand what truth is, what Dhamma is, what the characteristic of nature is. That you have to go through cessation. That's like the third noble truth. You remember? This noble truth of cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana, is to be? To be what? No, third noble truth. Cessation of form and mind is to be realized. You must realize it. That's why if the form and mind don't realize it, it can never have the wisdom. You don't be gullible. Oh, that nature is originally pure, intrinsically enlightened, eternal life. I no need to do anything. I just silent, I connect, I finish. Not like that one. That's all. You silent only the beginning of meditation. That's why I always tell you, when you realize the ability to have that silent mind, it's just the beginning of real meditation. Daily life, daily mindfulness. If you are only silent in the formal meditation, no use. That's why I say, when you are silent in the midst of life, daily mindfulness, that is the real meditation. That's why I say all this about technique, method and training, good setting, is to prepare your mind. But ultimately, you have to come out and use it to live. Understand? That's why I've been emphasizing on that. End of the day, the real meditation is you read the Heart Sutta notes. The real meditation only starts when you are able to silence your mind in daily life to do the daily mindfulness. Whatever you do, fantastic meditation experience, samatha or jhana, or no use. What jnana, jnana, no use. If daily life you cannot handle, Noble Eightfold Path cannot be cultivated. Because daily life is what Noble Eightfold Path factor is all about. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. If these are not in daily life, then where can you find this Noble Eightfold Path? It's all daily life. Ah, yeah, three, yes. yeah. Correct. So don't use proper English to understand them. It's not say I want to write. That's why you remember in the forward there, the preface there, I always put, you must listen to the recording, then only read. Otherwise you cannot understand. Because these are spoken language. But those who are serious, no matter how I speak, they will understand. Because they are interested in the Dhamma, not the English. Not enlightened. They are interested in the Dhamma, not the words. Understand not? The word and the Dhamma are different. The word Prajna Paramita is not that Prajna Paramita. That word form and mind is not the same as this true form and mind. That's why I say don't hold on to the word. Feel it. Understand it. Who am I? What am I? What is this so-called five degree of form and mind? What can it do? That's why in the meditation you find out, you investigate, you inquire, you go into it. You develop the ability to feel the tactile consciousness, Vedana, every moment of sense experience, every contact, whatever arises, you feel it. Asana. Then you check in your mind, what is perception? How do you perceive things? How do you know things? Every moment, every instant. You think cultivation is so easy. Huh? Oh, Brother Teo say like that, only your 5 degrees of form, I understand it. During the early day, this was what I did, you know. I lie down, I find out everything myself, you know. No book write about it, you know. Nobody teach me, you know. I only hear from my teacher words here and there, bits and pieces, you know. Then I do it myself. But I was lucky because my nature has the past. That's why it came by itself. Then Kuan Yin helped a lot. Kuan Yin. All the great beings, they have a lot. Yeah. Otherwise, not so easy. Oh, exceeded time. Huh? We have to stop. So this one, try to understand. Huh? Tonight, the condition is very good. You realize or not? If you penetrate this, I tell you, you don't have to worry about future life. Yeah. This life, everything taken care of. And all your future life existence, no more problem. And you don't have to worry about life anymore from now on. Penetrate this, understand, develop the true wisdom. No more play. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu. Chai Chai also laugh, smile. He understands. Yeah, he has his path. So, it's a very good session tonight. So we should thank Yun Chan for the condition. Sadhu. You see, that question very good, no? But if the evil root is already in me, what can I do? That question you better write down. Otherwise, I also cannot remember. That was a condition. Because I realized a lot of people cannot penetrate. I have been explaining to many people. It's not you, understand? Anger is not you. Fear is not you. Inquire into it. Check for yourself. The ego roots are all conditioned arising state of mind. They are never intrinsic within your nature. Why can't you just wake up to that reality? Then no more blaming yourself. No more say, "Ayo, I still got this defilement. I still got this fear. I still got this greed, this envy, this jealousy." Who are you referring to? This 5 degrees of form and mind, never you. That's why the Buddha said, if it's not you, why do you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die? It goes the way of nature. That's why he said, every day, 5 daily contemplation. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. For it goes the way of nature. Element goes the way of nature. Follow element. This one got no eternal entity. Understand? And this one is condition arising from your parents' sperm and ovum. Understand? And then it develops. Then the karmic force, karmic nature, all everything go into. That's why you have the karmic consciousness. Then the sperm and ovum from your parent, asana, that form the physical. Then the karmic force come. These three create the form of mind. Then from the small fetus, you start to grow. Then you are born. Then you become a boy. You become a youth. Then you become a adult. Then later you grow old, get sick, and finally they say die. But when you understand that form of mind is beautiful, no one dies. That's why the user of that form of mind, if it has wisdom, that form of mind becomes beautiful. Then you can use it to experience all of the great beauties and wonders of life. And that is the secret of life. That's why you need to understand. So make full use of this form of mind. It's useful. It's important. But understand its limitation and its reality, because it's not never you. But you need this vehicle to come, to experience, to cultivate, to develop all the perfection. That's why it has its purpose, understand? Even though it's not you. But it's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, we better end. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. That's why this Diamond Sutta, I tell you, is going to open up a lot of Dhamma, very penetrative Dhamma. It's meant to be not only for the living. It's also meant for those up there. Okay. Sharing of merit with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make an aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Those who want this book, you can collect them. These are the reprint. These are very good book. Chacha, you can have. Yeah. Then you can have this too. I think you don't have this one. This is a samurai. Take.
Take some more. You take and copy it to them.